Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Anne Ball, Marcia James, and Brian Lynn. First, here is Christopher Jones Cruz to tell us all about Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is a national holiday observed in the United States on the last Monday in May. It is the day when Americans honor the women and men who have served in the military. The Memorial Day holiday was first observed in 1868. The holiday was called Decoration Day. The observance was at what was then known as the National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. It is now known as Arlington National Cemetery. More than 4 million people visit the cemetery every year. It is the most famous national burial place in the United States. It includes about 250 hectares of rolling hills and trees that were planted hundreds of years ago. There are more than 8,000 trees of 300 species in the cemetery. Up and down the hills are lines of simple white headstones marking the graves. About 400 of the markers have gold letters on them. These are the burial places of those who have been awarded the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest military honor. Among those buried at the cemetery are military and political leaders, cabinet officers, and Supreme Court justices. Astronauts, explorers, and athletes are also buried there. So are chaplains, nurses, slaves, and even war correspondents. Arlington is on the land that once belonged to George Washington Park Custis, a step-grandson of George Washington. The cemetery holds the graves of soldiers who died in every war in American history. Some who fought and died in the Revolutionary War in the 1700s were moved there from a nearby cemetery. The first military burial was on May 13, 1864, for Private William Christman, who died in the Civil War. On May 15, 1864, two unknown Union soldiers were buried at Arlington. They were the first of almost 5,000 unknowns who are now buried at the cemetery. On March 4, 1921, Congress approved the burial of an unidentified American soldier from World War I. It is now the site of the famed Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Nearly 4,000 former slaves are buried at Arlington National Cemetery. One of them is James Parks. He dug the first graves in the cemetery, and he is the only person buried there who was also born on the property. Two American presidents are buried at Arlington National Cemetery. William Howard Taft was president in the early 1900s. John F. Kennedy was president in the 1960s. More people have visited his grave than any other in the United States. Other famous people buried at the cemetery include Joe Louis. He was an Army sergeant in World War II. He was a world champion boxer. Robert E. Peary discovered the North Pole. Dr. Anita Newcomb McGee founded the Army Nurse Corps. And the remains of the 7 astronauts who died when the space shuttle Challenger exploded are buried in Section 46. 65 foreigners are also buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Britain has the most, with 26. South Vietnam has 10, including 9 unknown soldiers. Not everyone who gave military service to the United States may be buried at the cemetery. Those who can be buried there include anyone who died while serving on active duty or who retired from the military. Also eligible are those who received high military awards, including the Medal of Honor, those who were injured in combat, and former prisoners of war. Some federal government officials and the spouse and children of those buried at Arlington may also be eligible. There is no cost for the burial or funeral service. Cemetery officials are worried that they will soon run out of space, so they have added an area where the ashes of people who chose to be cremated rather than buried can be placed. There are tens of thousands of spaces in the building, which is called a columbarium. The cemetery is also expanding by almost 11 hectares. This will add almost 30,000 burial places. Since 1948, on the Thursday before Memorial Day, soldiers from the 3rd U.S. Infantry, the Old Guard, have placed small American flags in front of every headstone in the cemetery. This year, more than 1,000 Old Guard soldiers placed more than 220,000 flags in front of each grave marker to honor every individual buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Some of the Old Guard soldiers placed flags in front of the graves of soldiers they knew in Section 60. Some have called it the saddest place in America. It is where some of the soldiers who died in America's latest wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are buried. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Women World War II pilots are again guaranteed full burial honors at Arlington National Cemetery. That is because the two main U.S. political parties put their differences aside to change the policy that had blocked the women's burial at Arlington. Both houses of Congress approved a bill to permit interment of the remains at the cemetery just outside Washington, D.C. President Barack Obama signed it into law on May 20th. The government once had a policy that gave the former women Air Force service pilots, known as WASP, rights to be buried at Arlington. But that policy was canceled in 2015. The new law gives women who flew during World War II the right to be interred in the nation's highest honor military cemetery. Interment means their ashes can be laid to rest there. The women Air Force service pilots courageously answered their country's call in a time of need, President Obama said when signing the bill into law. They blazed a trail for the brave women who had given and continue to give so much in service to this nation since. The issue was personal for Tiffany Miller and her sisters. Their grandmother, Lieutenant Elaine Danforth Harmon, had been a WASP pilot. They said she wanted to be buried at Arlington Cemetery. So they started an online campaign to give her the burial she wanted. It was her last wish to be in Arlington, Miller told CNN. We haven't been able to hold a funeral for her because we wanted to honor that wish. Harmon died in April at age 95. The issue also was personal for Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski. She knew Harmon, who had lived in Maryland. Mikulski, a member of the Democratic Party, worked with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican, to quickly move the bill through Congress. Mikulski said she proposed the legislation to honor the service and sacrifice of WASP in defending our freedom. She said, if they were good enough to fly for our country, they should be good enough for Arlington. Back in 2009, Mikulski proposed a bill to award the Congressional Gold Medal to the WASP. Congress presents the gold medal for exceptional acts of service to the United States or for lifetime achievement. The women pilots received the award in March 2010. But since the beginning of the WASP program, those women struggled to be considered military veterans. The program lasted 2 years, from 1942 to 1944, and just over 1,000 women served in it. Of those, 38 died in service, 11 in training, and 27 during military operations. The women pilots did not fly in actual battles, but took part in non-combat duties across the country. They trained male pilots on how to operate aircraft. They also towed targets for live ammunition, air-to-air gunnery training. But the female pilots also faced bias against women serving in non-traditional positions. They were considered civilians throughout their wartime service. If a girl got killed, her parents didn't get anything, not even a flag, nothing. WASP Barbara Erickson London told CBS News in 2014. Not even any acknowledgement that their daughter had been in the military. The women pilots were finally given veteran status in 1977. In 2002, Arlington Cemetery said the women could have their ashes buried there with military honors. But that policy changed in 2015 when then-Army Secretary John McHugh wrote that the cemetery did not have the ability to permit such interments. The Army also noted space restrictions at the cemetery. Arlington National Cemetery, founded in 1866, is a military cemetery located across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. More than 300,000 veterans of every American conflict, from the Revolutionary War to Iraq and Afghanistan, are buried there. But with less space The cemetery now has strict rules for ground burials. Most active duty members of the armed forces and any veteran retired from active service can be buried in Arlington. And now, Mikulski said in a statement, the WASP can once and for all be laid to rest alongside our nation's patriots at Arlington National Cemetery. I'm Ann Ball.
A new report says years of progress made in reducing poverty worldwide are under attack. The International Labor Organization says the progress is being threatened by weakening economic conditions and a lack of quality jobs. The ILO recently released the report. It is called World Employment and Social Outlook 2016, Transforming Jobs to End Poverty. The ILO says great progress in reducing poverty has been made over the past 20 years. The report explores the issue of extreme poverty in 107 emerging and developing countries. Extreme poverty was defined as earning less than $2 a day. The report found that in those countries, the number of people with such an income fell by almost half since 1990 to about 15% in 2012. Guy Ryder is the ILO's Director General. He says there have been great improvements in China and in Latin American countries. But poverty remains high in Africa and parts of Asia.
Another element which I think we need to pay attention to is the fact that in the developed world, there has been an absolute increase in poverty, notably in this continent of Europe.
Ryder says the recent worsening of economic conditions in Asia and Latin America suggests a cloudy future for poverty reduction efforts there. He noted that economic growth does not mean a reduction in poverty. He says income inequality is beginning to increase after dropping for many years. He says that hurts the ability of people to get out of poverty.
In addition, the ability of growth to reduce poverty is compromised by the inequitable income distribution, showing that the rich are taking a disproportionately high share of the benefits of growth, and in a way could be considered partly responsible for this perpetuation of poverty.
The ILO says United Nations efforts to end poverty everywhere are at risk of failing. I'm Brian Lynn.
The World Health Organization is proposing a new way to fight the disease multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. WHO officials say the new treatment costs less and is easier to use than other treatments. They also say it could save the lives of tens of thousands of people. Tuberculosis, TB, mainly affects the lungs. The bacteria that cause the disease can develop resistance to the two most powerful anti-TB drugs. This has led to the development and spread of multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. Multidrug-resistant TB infects nearly 500,000 men, women, and children every year. Each year, about 190,000 of those who develop this kind of the disease die. WHO officials say the death rate is high because fewer than 20% of the patients are getting the right form of treatment. Mario Ravignoni is the director of the WHO's Global Tuberculosis Program. He said the new test and treatment program will help people who have multi-drug-resistant TB.
These two new recommendations from WHO enable MDR-TB patients, one, to benefit from a test that will quickly identify who is eligible for the shorter MDR-TB treatment regimen, and two, complete treatment in half the time at nearly half the cost of today.
The new test can show in just 24 to 48 hours whether someone has the disease. The test that is used now may not give results for 3 months or longer. The shorter treatment program costs less than $1,000 per patient and can be completed in 9 to 12 months. Current treatment programs for people with multi-drug-resistant TB cost $1,500 to $3,000 and take between 18 and 24 months to complete. Ravignoni said that worldwide, about 50% of those receiving the longer and more costly treatment are cured. He said those who are not cured either die or can live with the disease for years. He says about 1/4 of patients stop the treatment before it is completed.
They abandon treatment because the treatment lasts, as you probably know, up to 2 years. With drugs that we all know are fairly toxic in a way, they have side effects, and they are not really liked by patients who have to take them.
WHO officials said there are about 400 laboratories in developing countries that can use the new test and treatment program. So officials believe most people suffering from MDR-TB will be able to be treated using the faster, less costly method. I'm Marcia James.
Scientists diving in a Florida river found bones and tools that could change the history of humans in the Americas. These new items, called artifacts, could mean humans lived in the Americas more than 1,000 years earlier than was known before. Researchers from several universities worked together and published their findings in the journal Science Advances. The items were found in the underwater archaeological site called Page Ladzen. Long ago, it was a watering hole where people and long extinct animals lived. Today, it is part of the Ocala River in Florida. It has provided scientists with human and animal artifacts for more than 50 years. Researchers used carbon dating, a scientific method, to find out the age of the objects. Previous carbon-dated items brought up from the waters were between 11,000 and 13,000 years old, but a newer find, it is more than 14,000 years old. Jesse Halligan teaches anthropology at Florida State University. She says the older artifacts change the way researchers will study human history in the Americas. She says these buried items were found in an untouched part of the river. That means there is no question about their age.
So we've got to re-examine everything we thought we knew. So it's kind of opened up this whole new world of First American studies.
Halligan says they found a cutting tool, a stone knife, buried underwater. The stone was formed into a tool that only a human could make. This made the researchers take a second look at a mastodon bone brought up from the same waterhole in the river. It had been cut. Mastodons were large ancient animals that once lived on Earth, but died off thousands of years ago. Halligan says there was no way that the marks on it were made by a natural process. In other words, those marks on the mastodon bone, they were made by people, she says, people who use tools to kill and cut up the animal.
When we went back, what we found was a stone tool that could not have been made by nature, that was definitely cultural, that dated to 14,550 years ago.
But who were these people who made the tool and killed and ate the mastodon? Until this discovery, researchers thought the first Americans were a group they call Clovis hunters. They were a prehistoric Indian culture, thought to be the most ancient people in North America. They came to North America from Asia when glaciers melted and they could walk across land that formed a bridge between the continents. Now, science puts this newly found Florida tool at more than 1,000 years before the Clovis hunters. Halligan says it is significant or important that the tool is made by human hands.
Now, that's significant, A, because the site shows people were definitely here before Clovis, more about 1,500 years before Clovis, but B, because it shows that people had to have come to the Americas by a different route than we had accepted, because the ice-free corridor that supposedly people came from by land through Canada was not open till 14,000 years ago.
There had been some evidence that humans were in the area earlier than the Clovis hunters. But until now, nothing had been proven because so few older remains had been found. Scientists said it is possible changing sea levels could be the reason more evidence had not been found about these ancient Americans before now. Halligan told reporters that 14,000 years ago, sea levels were 100 meters lower than today because of glaciers. Over time, those large areas of ice melted, and the evidence of the ancient humans in the Americas was lost. Evidence ended up buried and underwater, making it much harder to find. The evidence also shows a much different world than the one today. There were camels and mastodons and giant armadillo-like animals living there. But they all died or went extinct 10,000 or 11,000 years ago. One other interesting discovery? The researchers think they found bones from dogs. Even back then, they were likely to have been trained to help humans. Now it will be the job of researchers to try to find new artifacts. I'm Ann Ball.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.